Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time, and I'm with me, as usual, is Ryan Whitfield, senior staff writer for Football Garbage Time. So, Ryan, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Third Place?
It's only four games. We've still got plenty of time to go here. So I
just want to know how long you're going to continue to lie to the people.
Hey, man, I'm a politician at heart. We're going to lie as long as it takes. We're gonna get there. If it takes another season worth of games, I'm gonna catch up. I'm telling you. Anyway, you are getting ready for the holidays. I take it you're all jamming and getting your presents. You're all set and ready.
Yeah, about halfway there. Still in the home stretch here, but definitely much more prepared than I've been in years past. So we'll take that as a victory.
Well, I can tell you this. I can't be any less prepared than I've been in years past. Basically, everything I buy must be on Amazon two-day shipping. Otherwise, it's not going to get bought. That's basically the bottom line. So everybody is getting whatever is the daily special on Amazon today. No offense. That's about as far as I'm going to go. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to be running through a whole bunch of stuff today. A whole lot of information about the games that were over the weekend, and then some other interesting information, and one in particular that I know that Ryan will love to talk about. So let's go ahead and get started with the game that I know that that Ryan wants to talk about, and that is the Los Angeles Rams at the New England Patriots. The now 4-8 Rams basically got obliterated by the now 10-2 Patriots. 10-26. It wasn't really even close, honestly. Jared Goff does not look ready for prime time at all. And frankly, there's not much that the New England offense had to do because the defense did a whole heck of a lot of work. But of course, the most important news to come out of this entire game is that Tom Brady has set an all-time record 201 wins. So tell us about how you feel about that, Ryan. Is that a big thing, or is that something that's notable, or is that just kind of like a number that you're saying, well, heck, he's going to get there anyway, so who cares?
It's the only thing, you know. For years we've said it. During the whole the heat of the Manning versus Brady battle, it was, we had the wins and he had the stats. And I think I've been quoted on the show many a time saying stats are for losers, and I fully agree with that. You can take your yards and your TD passes and all that stuff, and you can shove them. All I care about is wins and championships, and that's all we ever cared about here in New England.
Eli Manning fans are proud of that too. I mean, they obviously can only count on they can't count on stats. They can count on championships.
Yeah. Hey, he's got two rings. I would take it if I was a Giants fan. But for me, I think it solidifies his resume. I think that I've been pretty level-headed for many years, saying, really up until recently, that I still thought Joe Montana was a little bit better than Brady.
Oh.
And if you look at the actual Super Bowl games,
yep.
It's hard to dispute, who you would take, Joe Montana in a Super Bowl or Tom Brady, that it would be Joe Montana because of how awesome and great he was in the Super Bowls,
right.
Obviously undefeated. I think he was 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I mean, impeccable. But I'm not one of the people that punishes or thinks it tarnishes Brady's legacy to make it to 6 Super Bowls. No one's made it to 6. So, I don't think that Brady losing the Super Bowl is worse than Joe and the Niners choking out a wild card game or NFC championship game. I think you got further, so I think that means something. Now, if he was 0-6, it'd be a different argument. But he's 4-2, and he's been there 6 times. So I think it just kind of wraps up the entire legacy. Pretty much, I think it's undisputed now. You have to say that Brady is definitely the best to ever play. I won't use the GOAT term that everyone here in New England loves because I think you're an 11-year-old tool if you use the term GOAT. But I do think he's the best to ever play the position and probably the best to ever play the game. And not just the wins, an over 700% winning percentage. So to put it in perspective, for someone to ever catch Brady, even at this point, you'd have to win 10-plus games about 20 years in a row. And he's probably still got another 2 or 3 years left. I think by the end of it, it's going to look like, the hit streak or, or the consecutive game streak played in MLB. It's been one of those records that I think most people are going to regard as unbreakable.
Right. Okay. Well, I can say up front that, of course, it's I don't think anybody is surprised that that Brady has gotten to this point. I think that's kind of what we all kind of expected. And of course, I'm not surprised that you think he's the best ever. I do say that I would put him all time in the top three or four quarterbacks. I'm not quite prepared to anoint him the best ever yet. I really have to go back and take a look at it. And I do think that even if you look at the stats, he's basically gotten there. But wins are the most important thing for sure. Without wins, then it doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. You end up with a situation where, like LeBron James many years ago, at the Cleveland Cavaliers, he had the best stats basically ever. And if you don't have championship rings, it doesn't mean anything in the long run. So I do agree with that. And that's really interesting. So let's flip to the other side of the equation here, because the Rams were also on the field, although it was hard to tell because they were terrible. But Jeff Fisher, and anybody listening to this podcast knows how we feel about Jeff Fisher. But Jeff Fisher was just extended. He got a two-year contract extension, basically right in the middle of his amazing season of 7-9, which is probably the best case scenario for him at this point. So it's interesting because it is an extension, but they don't actually have to abide by it by the entire time. I mean, there is an opt-out clause. Now, what do you think about this move by the Los Angeles Rams? I mean, I know Fisher is terrible and all that, but do you think this is just a way to keep them focused, to keep their options open? Was it a good move in their part?
No, it's a stupid move. I can't believe I have to talk about Jeff Fisher for the third straight week, but
because everyone loves Jeff Fisher.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing. You know, he looks like a guy who is secure in his job. He looks like a guy who's lost his touch, who doesn't get it anymore. You know, if you look past the comedic point for anyone who watched that game or saw any of the funny highlights from the game, the fact that he doesn't know where his challenge flag is, it's beyond funny to the point that it's actually sad. You're an NFL head coach, and you don't know what pocket you put your challenge flag in. That's how unprepared you are in the game, and that they had to call a timeout just to even have a chance to. I mean, anyone who saw that play knew right away, oh, that should be challenged, except for Jeff Fisher apparently and his coaching staff. It's an embarrassment. The only thing I can say to the Rams' credit is I forget who reported it, but I did see a report that it was actually extended before the season. Which maybe was trying to create stability and was in the hopes of creating stability and, you know, a new city or a franchise in a new city, trying to make it look like, okay, we got a program here or it's a fresh start with, you know, we have our team in place, we have our guys in place. And so the report I saw said that they were waiting for the right time to announce that. They probably should have done it after the 3-1 start because it's been all downhill since there. But,
right.
You know, he's a joke, and if you need to know how much those players have quit on him, go back and watch that LeGarrette Blount 41-yard touchdown. I'm drawing a blank on his name now. 31 there, though, the safety, who kept turning around and dancing, running down the field with his back turned to Blount because he didn't want to tackle him. And that's in the first quarter of a game, and his team was already warming up the buses. That's a sign of a team that has no heart, and that comes from the coach.
I totally agree with all that, and actually, the report also says that, as I mentioned, he can be fired at any time, so that's not
right.
Like they're stuck with him, but they do have to pay him $6.5 million per year to pay off that deal. But you know, in the greater scheme of coaching salaries, it's not completely over the top. I agree that they need some sort of stability going in there. It is a new venue for them. They don't want to come in saying that everybody's on the hot seat. At the very beginning, there's no better way to not get a good fan base by saying I'm going to shake everything up immediately after they get here. So you know, I think there's some smart moves there that were made, but I think the timing was awful. And apparently it was leaked, and no one apparently knows why or how it was leaked. I kind of wonder if Jeff Fisher had his agent leak that information to make sure that everyone understood that the thought that he had more support than he really had. But who knows? So At any rate, that's enough Jeff Fisher for now. I think we've basically exceeded the amount of time that we should spend on Jeff Fisher for the entire year. So we'll go ahead and strike him off from now on and move on with another game. And we're going to talk about the Detroit Lions at the New Orleans Saints. And there's a reason why I want to talk about this. The reason is because Matt Stafford has really broken out of late, and the Detroit Lions are now at the top of the NFC North. Kind of unexpected in a way, because at the beginning of the season, as you may know, Ryan, everyone expected the Green Bay Packers to be there, perhaps followed by the Minnesota Vikings, who had that hot start. But it's Matt Stafford and his crew that's been really kind of moving things forward. 30 for 42, 341 yards, two touchdowns, looking basically unstoppable. The Saints obviously don't have a great defense, but you thought that Drew Brees would put up a little bit more of a fight. He had probably one of his worst games of the year, 326 yards, but the two INTs really just ruined it for him. So tell me, what do you think about the Lions this year? Do they have a shot? And more importantly, do you think Matt Stafford has now solidified his position as a franchise quarterback going forward?
So, I think, I think absolutely that the Lions have a shot, because I think the NFC is really weak this year. I would say that, I said all along, I think we've said it multiple times, that I don't trust Dallas in the postseason just because of how young they are. Their two most productive positions on offense are young, and their defense is suspect. And so they've had some guys that have been there before, but I think Dallas is going to be facing a different monster when they get to the playoffs. So I'm not sold that they're runaway favorites. I was sold on the Seahawks. The Earl Thomas injury is huge, because not only are they weaker at free safety, but you're now weaker at strong safety, because what people don't realize is that what Earl Thomas does allows Cam Chancellor to be who Cam Chancellor is. We've seen it in the past. If Cam Chancellor has to cover at all, he can't do it. Cam Chancellor is built to just roam the middle and take your head off and make you afraid to come over the middle. So when you don't have that safety net of Earl Thomas behind you, or locking it down on a tight end, and you go back to the Gronk play where he got injured. Gronk had toasted Cam Chancellor, and Earl Thomas came in and saved his bacon and started the end of Gronk's season. So, I think the Seahawks are down now. So I absolutely believe in the Lions that they have a chance to make a run here. They're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. They've won four straight, and they started to really establish themselves here in the most important time of the year. I'm not sold on Matt Stafford as a franchise quarterback. I still think he's in that low second-tier group, maybe high third group. However, this season, I think it's important to note, I went through some of the stats. He's 10th in yards, 8th in completion percentage. TDs, he's 11th for 21. In interceptions, he's tied for the fourth least, technically 24th when you do it all out. But there's only three numbers lower than him that people have recorded for interceptions, and he's at 5. The lowest in the league is obviously at 2. So all that says to me that puts him right where I typically would rank him. But I'll come back to the argument I just made for Brady. I can't use stats to say Stafford isn't playing as well when they're winning games right now, and he's been clutch when it matters most. They've been, the cardiac kids this year.
I totally agree. He's an on target.
And Stafford is, I think he's winning. And that's all I care about at the end of the day, and the most important times of the games he's performing. So stats say he's middle of the road this year, or top third, but not elite. But I think the way he's played the last month has been pretty elite.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because at the beginning of the season, just basically how everybody would feel about me saying that Matt Stafford was going to be a solid top five quarterback. But right now, the way he's playing, he's playing lights out, and he's really elevating his team, because, quite frankly, there are a lot of issues with that offense. I mean, there's not a lot of consistency there. He managed to turn Golden Tate around. Marvin Jones has fallen off a cliff somewhere. He's made, Antoine Baldwin a little bit more relevant. So, there's a lot of stuff that he's doing that I think is very positive. Theo Riddick is doing well there. That offense is definitely clicking. I definitely think they have a chance. I think a lot of that revolves around the fact that Matt Stafford has really improved his game this year. So let's go ahead, ring the bell on that one. Move on to our next game, and that's the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. The Dolphins get destroyed by the Ravens in Baltimore, 6-38. Miami's six-game win streak ended. Wow, what do you think? So is this what you were predicting for Miami? Are they basically, is the streak over? The train ride is over. Everybody get off the train now. It's not going to go anywhere. And what do you think about the Ravens? Do you think that Joe Flacco can be trusted as a franchise starting quarterback in the NFL?
So I'll start with the Dolphins part of it. You know, we said last week, I think we were both pretty cautious. I think we both were pretty level-headed and fair, too. They hadn't really beat anybody good, but I think we both agreed that you can't scoff at a six-game win streak. It doesn't matter who it's against. That's an impressive win streak. So,
right.
But we both
said
this was a right, and we both said that this was going to be a show-me game. And the Dolphins show that they're the same old Dolphins. So I had zero expectations. I was actually just more, instead of being the typical New England fan to shun the Dolphins, I was actually interested and intrigued to see you know, what they would do. I was looking forward to that game as a real litmus test for them. And unfortunately, I want some competition in the AFC East. So, you know, I was looking for something a little bit more, but I didn't get it.
Right.
So I would say, you know, as far as they're going to make the playoffs, let's take a second. We don't often do a lot of interaction between me and you when we do this. So let's play a quick game for me. Are the Dolphins going to catch the Pats in the AFC East?
I don't think they're going to catch the Pats in the AFC East, no.
Okay, so that's one playoff spot out. Would you bet for either one for them to pass either the Ravens or the Steelers?
No, I don't. At this point in time, I just don't think they can. I just don't think they'll be able to do that. I mean, particularly if the Ravens continue to play defense like they've been playing.
Agreed. And are they going to catch any of the teams in the AFC West, the three guys at the top there?
I just don't see it. I mean, last week I would have said they had a shot. This week, just as you said, showing us what they could do against a legitimate contender for the playoff spot, I just don't see it.
Man, I agree. I think those six teams are in a different class, so I think there's absolutely no way the Dolphins get there now. And then when you factor
yeah,
in
nice
that
story, though, it was a nice story, and I think it's going to do a lot for their franchise. I hope they don't use it as an excuse to keep Tannehill, though.
I agree, and I also think that one of the teams being slept on, and unfortunately for them, they're in the toughest division in football this year. I think the San Diego Chargers are a better team, and they're doing it with all the injuries they faced this year. So I would even say that in a head-to-head game, in a neutral site, I'm taking San Diego. So I think Miami proved to me this weekend that they were the eighth best team in the conference. If they could have beaten the Ravens, I think you look at it a lot different and say that they're probably better than both those North teams and that they could get a wild card spot. But I think that was they were effectively playing for their season Sunday, and you know, it didn't really look like to me that they showed up very much.
Well, if they were closer, I would have had a little bit more confidence in them, but they were absolutely destroyed.
Absolutely.
And I'm not, you know, Joe Flacco is not. I mean, so I'm going to answer my own question here. I don't think Joe Flacco is fantastic, but he's a solid NFL professional quarterback. He's just not someone that I would count on to win games for me. And he looked like a superstar this weekend against that Dolphins defense. So that tells me a lot about what's going on the other side of the V. You know, I just don't think the Dolphins have a defense.
Yeah.
I thought they were coming together. I just didn't think, but he really kind of took them apart.
I would say that in the regular season, I think Joe Flacco is perennially a guy that, as long as you get him to the postseason, he's dangerous. So I think that's always been the knock, is that the Ravens, it's on a 2 or 3 year cycle. You know, they'll disappear for 2 years and they always come back. And I think they're kind of one of those upswings again. And you mentioned the defense. You have your second ranked defense in football, second in points, first in yards. You know, they're first in run defense, only allowing 73 yards a game right now. So I think defense is extremely, extremely dangerous. And if you get Joe Flacco into the postseason, you know, and he's got Steve Smith, who's a gamer. Terrence West is coming back on again after kind of a midseason lull. And then, you know, you have the old Joe Flacco weapon, which is just send Mike Wallace on a fly route and throw the ball up a mile high so that the defensive guy gets a little bit of a bump on there, and then he draws the cheapest play the Ravens run is drawing the pass interference.
Hey,
they do it
the
they
work.
Do it dirtier than any team in the league.
And it
yes,
works.
So,
you know,
so did the holding on the final play of the game. You know, 10 guys tackling 10 guys the other day. It doesn't make it any less cheap. You know, Harbaugh cries
and
the Patriots come out with formations, but then he's out there doing, you know, cheaper, dirtier tricks than anybody. So,
Well, I'm not a fan of Harbaugh either, so I can totally buy into all of that. I can tell you this though, one thing about Flacco. So a good friend of mine is actually related to Joe Flacco, and although she doesn't watch football at
I'm
all,
sorry.
So had no idea that he was actually popular. Yeah, well, I tell her that. Apparently, he's a really nice guy, though. Okay, just saying, just throwing that out there. Is whatever you think about him on the field, apparently he's a nice guy. All right, so he's got that going for him. Anyway, let's go to the next game. Let's talk about. Okay, that was the. There we go. There's the bell. All right, so that's the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't want to spend much time on the toilet bowl because obviously both of these teams are battling for the cellar. But I do want to talk about Colin Kaepernick just briefly. He had a terrible outing, only 4 passing yards. He was sacked more times than yards he got passing the ball. He got sacked 5 times. He was benched in the fourth quarter. I was going to talk about the game, but I actually want to talk about the future. You know, do you have any thoughts on where you think Colin Kaepernick should land next year?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so torn on the 49ers that, you know, I think he's got a crap bag team around him, so I have a really hard time blaming Kaepernick. You know, Trent Baalke years ago brought in a bunch of really, really bad guys, a la, you know, some of them more just addiction problems, you know, Alden Smith. But, you know, when you're employing guys like Ray McDonald, who beats his pregnant girlfriend, so he brought in a lot of character guys, and when things started to go a little bit south, the whole thing kind of came apart at the seams. And somehow, instead of the GM who brought in a bunch of questionable characters, didn't get blamed, it was the coach, Jim Harbaugh, who I actually do like, who has now gone on to another program, continues to succeed. And meanwhile, they've kept Baalke there, who's brought in 2 crap bag coaches, brought in a bunch of crap bag wideouts, you know, cast offs from the league, and basically run the team into the ground. I still think that there's something there with Kaepernick, and I know I stand alone on that, but I just don't think you look like he did in 2012. I mean, that's not just RG3 that people still hang on to. That was another level above RG3. That was game changing, dynamic, explosive. So I think he's kind of an idiot sometimes and a knucklehead. And I'm talking just on the football field, and he makes some bad decisions. But I think in the right situation, you could win with Colin Kaepernick. So. You know, I haven't fully gotten to off-season mode yet, so I don't know where I think he should land, but I'm not ready to write the guy off yet. I think there's just too much raw ability there still.
So what do you think about the Browns, the Jets, or the Broncos for a landing spot for him?
Yes to the latter two, absolutely not to the first one. He goes to the Browns, I see the same issues. That's just a cursed franchise. All you have to see is that they, you know, it looked like they started to make some interesting moves this year, and I think a lot of people were excited to kind of see what it would look like with all the rookie receivers and some of the talent they have there, the new regime there, and then you know, they're on their 18th quarterback, and I think it's Hugh Jackson's grandmother who's playing behind center now. So,
right.
So let me say the hell away from that franchise if I was him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. They are absolutely cursed, particularly at the quarterback position. So the Bears did actually pull this one out. I'm being a Bears fan. I guess I'm happy to see it, although they hurt their draft choice chances. So that's not really great. But anyway, they went 26-6 on the back of basically Jordan Howard. So what do you think about Jordan Howard? Is he a franchise running back?
I said that in the preseason, Hakong. I don't know if you remember when you steered me away from him.
I'm lobbing you a softball, man. He's going to knock this one out of the park.
I dropped him off of 3 rosters in week 3, and now I'm actually facing him in one of the leagues I dropped him in the playoffs. So if I go down this week, I don't even know what I'm gonna do to you. But yes, I think Jordan Howard absolutely is, and it just proves again and again and again what I've said for years. You don't draft an elite running back. I know people throw Ezekiel at me, but for every Ezekiel, I'll throw you a Todd Gurley and God, I can't even remember his name anymore.
Trent Richardson. Don't forget Trent Richardson.
Jesus. But who are some of the best running backs in the league right now? Le'Veon Bell. You got David Johnson out of nowhere. You got Jordan Howard, who was 4th on the depth chart. You get a guy in the 3rd round who you like his skill set that you can coach up and put behind a good offensive line. That's all you need. If you draft a running back in the top 10 or 15 of a draft, that GM should be fired on the spot.
Wow. So I know you hate running backs, but that is a solid, solid position to take. Let's cover one more real quick before we sign off and move on to the next topic. let's talk about the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks. Again, Seahawks absolutely decimate the Panthers 40-7. Woo! I just want to ask you, do the Panthers have any hope in 2017? Is there something they can do to improve, or is this basically the end of the line for those guys?
Yeah, they'll be back next year, and they'll be a good team because it's every other year. It really depends on their start, but if they get off to a hot start, they're a team that gets on a roll and a team who just feeds off of momentum. And when things go sour, they're a bunch of crying little babies. So, you know, I actually have started to come around looking at the schedule, the fact that they had to go to the West Coast back-to-back weeks. The NFL did not do any favors for Carolina, but at the end of the day, you deal with it. So I'm tired of their excuses, and I think they're just a bunch of crybabies over there.
Yeah, well, I don't think there is any excuse for the season. It's a pretty bad Super Bowl hangover for a runner-up in 1 year to just completely go south and 4-8 for the season. And, you know, best-case scenario, they go even. I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, you know, I agree. I think they're going to be better next year, but I'm starting to worry about Cam Newton. I just don't see him being as effective, and he's not running the ball well anymore. And who knows, maybe it has to do with the concussions, maybe it's to do with the hits, but he just doesn't look like Cam
Newton
to me right now.
Maybe it's to do with Jonathan Stewart not giving him an out this year. They got to go get a running back, you know, under 30 for next year.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that as well. Jonathan Stewart has basically outlived his expiration date. All right, well, that's all we got for today, and we're going to turn around, and we're going to be right back, everybody, with some fantasy football news and a new podcast. But for now, Ryan, give us your Twitter handle so people can follow you.
Yep, at Ryan Whitfield, N-E, as in New England.
All right, and you can follow me at FB Garbage Time, and we'll give you updated on all the new NFL news throughout the week, and we'll see you back here in just a few minutes.